This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Wednesday. It's been such a great Wednesday with BK and everything else. So we're going to rip on Catherine Mayer here in just a few minutes this hour. We will talk about something ugly that happened in Spain. I know you think you don't care, but you might care. And we'll do some emails and other things coming up the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I forgot to tell you about Chris's hair today. So as you may be aware, I don't know, but I'm going bald, you see. Shut up, Chris. You stay out of this. Now, it's not my fault. It's a Kelly thing. My dad, about the same time, in fact, even a little earlier than me, started to lose his hair. His dad, his brothers, when the Kellys hit 30s, mid to late 30s, 40s, she's going to start thinning out on you. All right? She just is. And I'll tell you this, my sons, James and Luke, because they're disrespectful, they enjoy making fun of me for my bald head. And I have greatly enjoyed telling them, soak it up, boys. Got about 20 more years left and you'll be right there. Enjoy every bit of it. And you can tell it gives them a moment of pause. They think to themselves, oh, crap, that's probably coming. Anyway, I'm losing my hair, all right? It hurts. For the longest time, Aub, because she's not very nice either, kept pointing it out and making fun of me that it, my hairline in the front was retreating, that it was going backwards. And I couldn't see it because I always like to look at myself in the best light. But after a while, it became simply undeniable that the hairline was going backwards. Then, because you can live with that for a while within reason, then it started to thin out on top. And that, there's just no way to overcome that. And dudes get all self-conscious about it, and they try to grow it out and think that longer is better. It's exactly the opposite. All it does is put more eyes on the problem. They'll try the toupee route. Everybody can see your toupee, guys. Everyone knows. It looks bad. Sorry, it looks bad. Guys will try everything. I chose to go the other way. I chose to take the route my old man did and just kind of shave it down. No big deal. But have you ever, I know they don't show the simulcast of the show anymore, so you probably can't watch me do the show, but have you ever noticed that I rub my head a lot? If you've ever watched me do radio, I tend to rub my head a lot. You know why I rub my head a lot? It doesn't itch or anything. I don't have any ailments that I'm aware of. I miss it. It was like, it's like losing an old friend. That you don't shake your head, Chris, that you never get back. That's what it's like. You want me? When I said goodbye to my hair, I said goodbye forever. He's never coming back. I'm not going to Turkey for hair replacement surgery. You just make fun of me and be really mean about it. I'm not going to take any of this, I don't know, nitroglycerin or whatever the stuff is you email in or tell me to take for my hair. I don't know, Chris. I'm not a scientist. It's some kind of chemical word. I'm not taking anything. I'm just going to let it go. That's it. But Chris and I have been working together for almost 7 years now. He's well aware of the pain and anguish I feel. Chris's hair is, it's awful. It's really bad. He has a lot of it. He's one of these people with this thick, disgusting mop of hair. And No maintenance on it whatsoever. What Chris said in his defense, he's enjoying it because he knows he's going to lose it. Well, yeah, well, that's the point, Chris. It goes beyond enjoying it for yourself. At some point, it's pretty obvious you're rubbing it in. Chris's hair has got to, it's got to be, honestly, it's got to be like 5-6 inches long right now. The kind of hair I was never allowed to have. If my dad ever saw me with hair like that, he'd yell at me and tell me I was a dirty hippie. And he'd swear that if I didn't go get my hair cut, he'd grab clippers and he'd cut, I'm going to cut it and you wouldn't enjoy it. Then he was totally serious. So I've never in my life had hair at that length. But he comes in today. I don't know, it's borderline unprofessional. Just completely unkempt, and it's just flowing all over the place. When did you get up today, Chris? When did you get out of bed? I mean, honestly, because it looked like it was 5 minutes before you came into work. I know you didn't knock out a shower, so don't lie. I know you didn't. That's not showered hair, that whatever that is. Anyway, I'm upset with Chris. Let's make fun of Catherine Mayer, because I played this for you earlier, the famous truth soundbite.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
The important part of Catherine Mayer is she runs NPR, which you pay for. Which you pay for. It's a great example. It's why I'm going to play a couple of these little questionings from today's hearing. It's a perfect example of how the system works. How they just slowly but surely bring in as many committed communists into every single part of the system. And from there, you really don't have to give them marching orders. You've brought in this demonic cultist. You know they're going to do demonic cultist things. Tim Burchett, one of my favorite members of Congress, he was asking her some questions today.
What about Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA? Is propaganda.
I don't believe that is propaganda, sir.
Okay, well, in January, North County Public Radio, and that's a subsidiary of NPR, had Daphne Brooks, who apparently is a black feminism scholar, on its show, where it was hosted by the host, Brittany Luce, and it says, have you ever watched something on TV and thought, okay, now this is propaganda? Have you ever had that moment? To which Daphne Brooks replied, whenever I see Lee Greenwood singing Proud to Be an American.
I believe that represents the individual we interviewed on air, not the position.
And yet you say there's no bias on NPR.
That is not
a biased statement, ma'am. That is not even both parties wrap themselves around this song. Every time there's a national conflict, Lee Greenwood sings it, and he does a beautiful job, but you say there is no bias in NPR.
That is that individual's opinion, and she, of course, is entitled to it, but that is not the position of NPR.
Burchett went on. You know what murders me about Burchett is how unbelievably dry he is. He always sounds like the next words out of his mouth are going to be, I don't really care. That every time I hear him talking, I've interviewed him several times. He's just an awesome person. He just always sounds just kind of sick of the whole dumb thing. And I don't know. And just, I don't really care. I'm sick of it all.
Let me ask you, why did you call President Trump a fascist and a deranged racist sociopath in 2020?
Congressman, I appreciate the opportunity to address this. I regret those tweets. I would not tweet them again today. They represented a time where I was reflecting on something that I believe that the president had said rather than who he is. I don't presume that anyone is a racist.
You don't believe anyone is a racist?
I don't start by presuming anyone is a racist, sir.
That was clear back in 2020. She's a totally different person now. Oh, wait, Brandon Gill got in on the whole thing.
2 years ago, NPR educated America about, quote, the whole community of genderqueer dinosaur enthusiasts. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of tax dollars?
I was not at NPR at the time, sir.
That's not the question, though. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of our tax dollars?
I think our tax dollars that we use are to be able to provide a wide range of perspectives.
I'll take that as a yes. You do believe that that's appropriate. Your health advisor at NPR also stated in an interview that, quote, fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat. Would you like to explain how fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat? That's an editorial at NPR.
I am not familiar with the editorial, and I don't believe that was published during my time here.
It's called Diet Culture is Everywhere. Here's how to fight it. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I think any reporting on health is an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars, yes.
And you think that editorializing that fat is not unhealthy is appropriate?
I don't know what that article is, sir, and I'm not familiar with it,
this
so I couldn't say.
Fake news. Do you think that basic accommodations like doorways or seatbelts represent, quote, latent fat phobia?
I don't have an opinion.
It's also from NPR.
Man, how fat do you have to be to look at a doorway and think, that thing's oppressing me? I didn't even think about that when I listened to that earlier. That just popped into my head as he said it. It didn't even occur to me. A doorway? Look, doorways do oppress me. I have to duck through virtually all of them. Did you know that I naturally cock my head to the side every time I go through a doorway? It looks like I'm in a rave or something like that. Constantly, I'm going to cock my head to the side to keep myself from braining myself on the door frame. I'm oppressed, and I don't even look at doorways in that way. That's really weird. Can you imagine what it's like for Whoopi Goldberg? Have you given money to preborn yet? Preborn saving a life. Do you have any idea how many lives you saved last year, you and preborn combined? 67,000. Did you know that? 67,000 human beings are alive today because of you. That's what happens when you give a scared young woman a free ultrasound. And then if she needs it, she needs diapers or formula or help, up to 2 years of care. That's actually saving lives. You did that. 67,000. What does that mean for America 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now? 67,000 people. You might walk past one day. You'd never know it. A life you saved. That ultrasound costs $28. That's how they give it to her for free. You can give preborn whatever you want, as much as you want. I don't care if it's $8. I don't care if it's 80,000. It's all tax deductible. Go save a life deducted on your taxes. 67,000 because of you. Let's make this year even better. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to Spain here in a minute. Well, a couple minutes, but first. Jesse, it broke my heart the first time I heard you say one of your Christmas gifts was a frozen pizza, but that's probably all you deserved. What's your favorite frozen pizza? Okay, first, let me explain the story for you new listeners. I grew up in a construction family, and to the credit of my parents, we didn't starve. Okay. All right. We didn't starve. We had hot meals. They weren't always the best, of course, and we certainly weren't made of money. We're just construction people. We're just normal people. That's how I grew up. And when I was 10 years old, my dad decided he wanted to move out west. He wanted his family to live in clean air. He loved hunting and fishing. He just wanted to move out west. So we took a bunch of trips out west. My old man was trying to find work. So we drove the family in the car, and we drove across the country several times, the Dakotas and Wyoming, Kansas and Nebraska. And I know all these places intimately well. My dad was always getting out to the Rockies and trying to find work. He finds job as a construction superintendent for a construction company in Bozeman, Montana. We moved to Bozeman, Montana. Well, now we don't have any money. Have you ever changed jobs or moved? Even if you have a good job lined up, lots of times there's like this lag period where you're living off your savings, you're running up your credit cards, you have nothing. I've done this several times. It sounds familiar. Nothing. It's awful. Well, when we moved to Montana, we were so poor we had to live in a ski cabin on the side of the hill. Maybe that sounds really cool. This was in the summertime. There was no snow. It wasn't that cool. It was very, really pretty. And when the snow did come, you couldn't park up at the house. You had to park way down the hill. And so when you came home with groceries, we had to have sleds stationed by where we parked. You had to load the groceries into a sled, you know, like the sled you'd take down a hill, and it had a rope attached to it, and you'd have to walk up the hill through the snow, hauling your sled full of groceries to our ski cabin. That's where we were. That's how we lived, right? By the way, my folks ended up doing really well. When I joined the Marine Corps, they started their own construction company, Don Kelly Construction, and they did great for themselves, did great. Retired. They ended up doing great. Of course, after I left the house, they did great. Figures. Anyway, they did great and everything worked out great. Everything was fine in the end. But for a while there, it was a little tough. In our first Christmas in Montana, there just was no extra money. Maybe you're living that life now. I've been there. That was my offer. Normally, my folks would ask for a Christmas list. And you'd put, I want these new Jordans, or I want a video game, or I want this jersey of my favorite sports team. And you'd put a bunch of things on the list. You'd get one, generally in my house, one or two. There was no list. It was, which frozen pizza you want? Now, I don't know if I can qualify. I don't know if I can describe the best frozen pizzas. Tombstone is top-notch. Top-notch. Yes, it is, Chris. You're not going to tell... See, Chris said, Red Baron, if you'd just been patient, Floppy Hair, I would have explained that Red Baron, I would put that not necessarily equal to Tombstone, but barely a notch below. Red Baron is top end frozen pizza. My personal favorite, I will still buy these to this day whenever Ob isn't along. Ob is not that supportive of frozen pizza. I'll be very honest with you. I always have to hear him at the preservatives and things like that. Nothing beats a Totino's. Totino's? You ready for me to age myself? 43 going on 83, Jesse. When I was a kid, you could get a Totino's pizza for 49 cents. One of those coupon specials in the grocery store. If you bought five, they were 49 cents a piece. So it wasn't like one, but 49 cents, you could get a Totino's pizza. And I know you're probably making fun of me. One, remember, I'm white trash. I can't change who I am. I'm not classy. I'm not educated. To this day, I'm 43 years old. If she's already eaten or looking the other way, or gosh, when she leaves town, the first place the boys and I go, right to the grocery store for Totino's pizzas. What is wrong? What, you don't like Totino's, Chris? Corey, talk to him. What, Chris? It's good. Chris said it's good. It's not the best. I know it's not necessarily the best, but here's why Totino's is so good. Oh, another underrated one, but until they changed it, was Tony's. Tony's Pizza when I was a kid. Now they still have Tony's Pizza and it's still not bad, but it was the only frozen pizza that I ever saw that had the pepperoni that turns into the little cups, the little kind of crunchy grease cups that used to be Tony's Pizza. That was always choice when I was a kid. If dad got a bonus check or something, Tony's Pizza was in the house. Anyway, the reason Totino's is great is A, the money savings. Chris, I would think that of all people, you would appreciate that. B, it's different than a pizza you get in a store. It's different. It's got kind of that flaky crust thing. Tombstone is probably an elevated version, but it's similar to Domino's. It's similar. Totino's is great because it's unique, Chris, right? Now, maybe you'd like to ensure that you can afford Totino's pizzas forever. The only way to do that is to get a hold of Gold Co. You have to make sure you don't get wiped out financially. Don't lose the retirement you've been busting your butt for your entire life. Let Gold Co. get some precious metals in there. Gold, silver, I really don't care what it is. In all seriousness, please do not lose everything. the stories about people losing everything freaking breaks my heart, man. You don't have to go crazy. Let Gold Co. get something in your retirement. They handle it all for you. I'm not asking you to do it. I wouldn't know how to do it. Gold Co. knows how to do it. Let them do it. 6,000, over 6,000 five-star reviews for a reason. Why do you think that is? They'll even give you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. JesseLikesGold.com. All right? JesseLikesGold.com. Now, let's go to Spain next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, a fantastic Wednesday. I have a little bit of an ugly story I just want to talk about here really briefly that saddens me for a variety of reasons. Probably not one that caught your eye, but a Catholic priest from Boston, Father Richard Gross was his name. He, 80 years old, decided he was going to go on a cruise, a Spanish cruise, 80 years old, goes over to Spain, gets a little apartment where he's apparently staying or going to stay as he waits for the cruise. He gets killed. He gets killed by a couple barbarians, one of them, 27-year-old North African man. You get the idea. And I'm not going to spend any more than a minute on this. I just want to say, I hate what's happened to Europe. I hate that what's happened here is happening on an even greater level in Europe. I want to once again say that I have had a lifelong dream as a history nut of visiting Rome. From the time I was a child, I wanted to go see Rome. I just wanted to see it. I wanted to see the history. I wanted to see the sights. I wanted to soak it all in. And I'm in no way telling you not to go. But at Christmas time, I went to Rome. We finally went to Rome. Colosseum and all that. Yep, had a blast. Very blessed. I don't think I'll ever be back. Chris, you can't imagine how filthy they've allowed it to become. You can't even imagine it. Graffiti everywhere. When we went to the Colosseum, as a matter of fact, when we went to the Colosseum, we got out of our cab at the Colosseum. Now, this is, again, it's me. I've dreamt of the Colosseum. I just wanted to see it. I wanted to soak it all in. We got out of our cab. You're kind of up a hill, and you have to go down a hill to get to the entrance of the Colosseum. We were surrounded. I would say 40 Africans there. Filthy, selling all kinds of filthy little ugly trinkets like it's the middle of Somalia. It was awful. It was putrid. And that has happened all over Europe and America is so unbelievably sad to me. It's so sad. And it's one of the things, because there's a reason I talk about it all the time. It fills me with so much rage that our politicians have done this to us on purpose, that this was a conscious choice. This is not just us here in America, where the Democrats brought in as many barbarians as they can. They've been doing this in Europe for years, and the Europeans completely crowded out, and the state of disrepair. And I'm not a world traveler, so I can't tell you whether this is all new or all changed. But I will tell you this. I've been to Europe twice. I don't want to go to any more European big cities. Every single time we've gone to a big city in New York, or in Europe, no matter where it is, filthy, barbarians all over the place. All over the place. And it's not like I'm just pointing fingers there. I mean, you go to New York. You go to New York, you can find rows and rows and rows of illegals just laying around. You go down into the subway, they're peeing all over the floor. I saw one eating a live rat. A live rat. Well, the rat wasn't alive for too much longer, but yeah, you get the idea. And that our politicians have done this to us on purpose. Like I said before, I believe it is a crime. And I am not under the impression that we're about to see justice at all, that anyone will ever be arrested or prosecuted. But if you took charge of a country and then proceeded to fill that country up with barbarians, I believe that you will answer for that one day. I do. And you dang well better. I'll tell you that much. An 80-year-old Catholic priest from 80 years old. 80 years old. And I don't know his story, but look, sure, he's not made of money. He's a freaking priest. He's not in finance. How many Spanish cruises do you think he's gone on? Crosses an ocean to go on a cruise, and a couple savages choke him to death. 80-year-old Catholic priest dies having his airway crushed by a couple barbarians. Steams me, man. I got to get to some emails. It just sickens me. I hate it, man. And Jesse, I enjoy the commentary, but what's with the head rubbing? I already explained that earlier, that I used to have hair and I miss having the hair and now I rub it. Jesse, you're making another big reason. You're missing another big reason losing the 2020 election is good. And that's that we got rid of Mike Pence. Upgrading from Mike Pence to J.D. Vance may be the biggest upgrade of all time. I should have played this earlier. J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, dropped this tidbit.
My mother was an activist for reproductive rights and LGBTQ rights. And she took me to pride parades back when, well, they weren't really parades. They were protests. So I have to laugh when I hear the right wing carry on about the dangers of exposing kids to trans people or same-sex couples, because I'm living proof that introducing your kids to the gay agenda might result in them growing up to be governor.
That's so gross. You know, you do realize that if you've ever said or even thought, I need to introduce my kids to the gay agenda, that you're really gross. That you're a groomer trying to guide your children in a specific direction. It's really gross, to be honest with you, extremely gross. What is not gross is Trump talking about NPR and PBS.
Would you be interested in defunding and taking away taxpayer dollars to NPR and PBS?
Well, I would love to do that. I think it's very unfair. It's been very biased, the whole group. I mean, the whole group of them. And frankly, there's plenty of, look at all the media you have right now. There's plenty of coverage. I was from a different age, and they spend more money than any other network of its type ever conceived. So the kind of money that's being wasted, and it's a very biased view. You know that better than anybody. And I'd be honored to see it end.
I would be honored to see it end, too. This is something Donald Trump clearly is willing to sign. Question is, why hasn't the GOP ever put that in a bill or a budget? Look, it's a legitimate question. I even played some for you earlier. All the back and forth, the interrogation of Catherine Mayer, head of NPR.
What about Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA is propaganda?
I don't believe that is propaganda, sir.
Okay, well, in January, North County Public Radio, and that's a subsidiary of NPR, had Daphne Brooks, who apparently is a black feminism scholar, on its show where she...
Sounds good. Are we going to defund it? Not Tim Burchett, don't get me wrong. Burchett would be fine. Burchett would defund it in a heartbeat. But how many years have you and I had to hear the GOP tell us that they're going to defund NPR? Defund NPR! We're going to defund NPR! They'll even drag in the dirty commie head of NPR, and they'll interrogate her and reveal her to be the, well, filthy communist she is. But then, When it comes time to defund it, nothing. More show trials, not enough results for me. Anyway, let's talk about history. Let's learn about history. Do you enjoy learning about history? Do you like when I do history? Hillsdale offers you free history as well. You don't have to just come here. Hillsdale's offering more than 40 free online courses. You know about all those wonderful stories in the book of Genesis? The flood and just everything. You know all the wonderful stories? I have terrible stories too, I guess, if we're being honest. It's scary, amazing. Would you like to learn more about those? Some context, understand it better? Anything confuse you? You know Hillsdale, they have a course for that? No charge. You want to learn more about the fall of the Roman Republic? No charge. More than 40 online courses are now being offered for free by Hillsdale because they love us. And because I love you, I'm telling you about it. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go sign up. Something positive and interesting to do at night, the weekends, when it's rainy out. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. My kids are smart, Alex, and I don't know where they got that, probably from their mother, but my kids are smart, Alex. So, Ob and me, I don't know, whatever. We're terrible people, and we're terrible parents, and so we make our kids do things they don't want to do, and our church, they have this meeting one weeknight a week where the kids, the teenagers, will gather. They'll gather and do, you know, church stuff, but it's a Wednesday night, and it's more light and fun. It's more designed for teenagers, right? Well, it's not just that we want our kids in church. Ob and I are trying to give some guidance on the whole wife thing. It could be hard in this day and age for young men to find a young woman who's not a nutball. How many times have we covered the numbers? Young single women are the most rabid, insane, nuttiest communists in the country. It's a large percentage. It makes good young men, it makes it hard for them to find somebody. A good place to start? Church. So, because of that, and of course, Jesus, we've been making them go on Wednesday nights. Well, they're teenage boys. They don't want to go to church on Wednesday nights. We have a hard time sending them to church. They don't want to go on Wednesday nights. I get it. I wouldn't want to go on Wednesday nights either. So I issued a directive to them last night. I said, gentlemen, I know exactly how your devious little minds work. We have tracking. We track everything on your phones, including the location, including the speed. When I say we, I mean Ob. I don't have any of that crap on my phone, but of course Ob does. Your phones will stay in the car. Because here's what they do. When they don't want to be there, they'll sneak out together and they'll go snicker on their phones and do little stupid things on their phones. Or you know exactly how this works. Everybody, man and woman, has done this in this modern era. Either your kids are being loud and annoying or you're stuck in a party you don't want. You take your phone and you go act like you're taking a dump for 20 minutes when really it's just an escape where you're there on your phone. My kids will do that for a half hour. They'll do that for a half hour. So I issued the order. The phones stay in the car. You want to know what my youngest said back to me? I kid you not. It's verbatim. I'm reading it. Shouldn't we try and get the number of someone we become friends with? I know, Chris. I know. This kid, I'm telling you, one day I'm just going to snap. One day I'm just going to absolutely snap on this little smart aleck. Who the heck does he think he is? I'm telling you, he gets all this stuff from Ob. Did you know a third of all D.C. district judges are foreign born? What a shock. What a shock that we bring in people from all over the world. Democrats lead the charge. Republicans like John Cornyn, who's up for a primary next year in Texas. Republicans like John Cornyn, of course, help them. James Lankford helps them. Remember James Lankford from Very Red, Oklahoma? Remember when James Lankford tried to pass an amnesty deal in Biden's presidency? Just tried to pass an amnesty deal. Anyway, Republicans help the evil demon Democrats do this, bring in foreigners from all over the planet, and the most remarkable thing happens. They show up on this magic soil that is America, and they don't turn into uber patriots. In fact, the ones the Democrats bring in seem to turn into Democrats. Why do you think the Biden administration tried to block people from Cuba? Because those are the ones you want here. Those are the anti-communists you want here. But no. Democrats are very smart. They'll bounce around the world and they'll select. You know Ilhan Omar? Everyone knows Ilhan Omar, member of Congress. You know her parents were Marxist activists? We brought her parents here. And now her daughter, filthy anti-American congressman, sits there in Congress crapping on this country every minute of every single day. And we yell and scream that she should be more grateful to be here. Democrats grabbed their dirty commie parents and brought them to the country on purpose. And they do the same thing with the judges in D.C. They go shopping, you see. They go shopping for the malcontent. Put them through law school, throw a black robe on them, and there they'll sit crapping all over this country every single chance they get. It brings me back to the point I made in the very beginning. What is the purpose of a law? Does the law exist just for the law? No, the law exists for the people. The law exists for the protection, prosperity of the people. If the law is being used to abuse the people, then the law should be ignored by the Trump administration. Period. That's right, Chris. The Supreme Court made their ruling. Now let them enforce it. Deportations shouldn't be slowed down, shouldn't be stopped. Ramp it up. Throw the judge on one of the flights for all I care.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Texas Tech Medical School agrees to race-neutral admissions in a settlement with America First Legal. It's wild that they had to be sued into race-neutral admissions. It's almost like the racism in America's universities is, what's that word they love? Systemic. Through the roof, CNN data guru breaks down the surge in Americans saying the U.S. is on the right track. Man, alive. There is a chance, don't want to get ahead of my skis here, there's a chance Democrats are in serious trouble in the midterms. Israel urges the U.S. to set a time frame for maximum pressure on Iran. This situation is not good. The situation over there is not good. It's not good at all because Iran is joining with Russia and China. And I'm officially nervous about the situation over there. And it seems like a lot of people really want this thing to ramp way, way up. I'm not sure that this is good. Social Security conducting major records cleanup, marking 7 million listed as age 120 plus. 7 million people. How much of our money has flown out the door to God knows where? Man alive. Pam Bondi. Paging Pam Bondi. Somebody better be arrested for these crimes. No recession in sight, say Scott Bessent and Jerome Powell. Well, that's a freaking good thing. At least we can bank on that. Dollar Tree offloads struggling family dollar chain for $1 billion. Huh. There's good money in that stuff. I wouldn't recommend visiting late at night. I've done that before. It can be very dangerous. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.